Let us pray as we worship together in these final moments that God will be with us. Lord, we ask you now in these moments, by the work of your Holy Spirit, to not only be present among us, but to be present in us. And that as Jacob, who wrestled during the night, said, "I will not let you go until you bless me," we desire not to leave this place without your blessing. And so be with us now as we hear your word, as we acknowledge our unity together, and as we come to your table. Bless us, we pray, not because we deserve it, but because we are your servants and we need it. We ask in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.
La unidad del Espíritu, Efesios 4, del 11 al 16. Y él mismo constituyó a unos apóstoles y a otros profetas, a otros evangelistas, a otros pastores y maestros, a fin de perfeccionar a los santos para la obra del ministerio, para la edificación del cuerpo de Cristo, hasta que todos lleguemos a la unidad de la fe y del conocimiento del Hijo de Dios, a un varón perfecto, a la medida de la estatura de la plenitud de Cristo, para que ya no seamos niños fluctuantes llevados por doquiera de todo viento de doctrina, por estratagema de hombres que para enseñar emplean con astucia las artimañas del error, sino que siguiendo la verdad en amor, crezcamos en todo aquel que es la cabeza, esto es Cristo, de quien todo el cuerpo, bien concertado y unido entre sí, por todas las coyunturas que se ayudan mutuamente, según la actividad propia de cada miembro, recibe su crecimiento para ir edificándose en amor. Amén.
So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up unto him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And this is the word of the Lord. I would invite you to stand and we will express the unity of the faith as we share the peace of Christ with one another in words of peace and words of reconciliation.
Henry Nouwen wrote the book that we were to read as a part of this conference called With Burning Hearts and referenced earlier by Dr. Floyd Cunningham. And in the book he tells us that Eucharist leads to mission, the mission of go and tell. And these disciples in this 24th chapter of Luke, starting with the 13th verse, have quite an experience for themselves. Let me read about it. Luke 24, starting with verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one living in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things, and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Eucharist leads to mission. Go and tell. These disciples, after basking in Christ's presence, suddenly realized a miracle was happening before them as the guest became the host. And then he disappears. But they know in their hearts now that it was Jesus, that it's true, he's risen from the grave. Everything he taught, everything he said, it's true, validated now by his resurrection body. Oh, what a moment that must have been. Even as he disappears, they have no fear anymore, because though he has disappeared from their sight, he is in their hearts and a part of their lives. And the natural result of this encounter is that they realize they must go and tell. And though they walked 7 miles and had been very depressed and discouraged, suddenly they're revived. They have fresh fire. They have a new energy. They're no longer downcast. Now they can't wait to get back to the city that they just left in despair. Never mind, it's getting dark now. They have a story to tell. And after these hours here, basking in the presence of Jesus ourselves, we're renewed in our own mission to tell the story, the wonderful story of Jesus. And we recognize we're always better, just like these Emmaus Road disciples. We're always better when we have spent time with Jesus. Remember the bread. It was when he took the bread and broke the bread and began to serve them that they recognized it was Jesus. Connie and I have been on a district assembly tour as jurisdictional general superintendent for the Eurasia region. And we've had 7 countries, 7 assemblies. And just last week we were in Kiev in the Ukraine. And we were with Bob Skinner, our field strategy coordinator for CIS field. And he was so excited about what was happening in the Ukraine and other places on the field. And we were too. And our pastors, some of them dying with AIDS, others ex-prisoners, now serving God as pastors in the Church of the Nazarene, operating rehab clinics for drug addicts and alcohol addicts, and child sponsorship programs for orphan children, and all kinds of medical issues and rehabilitation solutions. And God is blessing and prospering their work and their efforts. And he told us about one in particular who was such a sad case. He was a hopeless drug addict. And he lost his wife, lost his children, lost his home, lost everything that was important to him, and had been reduced to the point where he was gathering his meals out of trash cans. But he encountered the transforming power of Jesus Christ. He came in contact with one of our pastors who beautifully led him to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And everything began to change in his life. The next thing he knew, things were going much better than they had gone for a long, long time. And redemption and lift began to take hold. And he began to realize that there was a life out there for him and a life in Christ. And not only that, he began to feel that God was calling him to preach. And the next thing he knew, he got his children back. And the next thing he knew, he had his wife back. And Bob Skinner said, I went to see him. And when I went there to be with him and his family, I remembered that not long before I'd been visiting with my communist neighbor, an atheist. And we'd been having quite a discussion about religion. And he said, finally, my neighbor said, all right, I'll tell you what. If you can put bread on this table, I'll believe in your God. Let's see you put bread on the table. Well, Bob's a good missionary, but he's not a magician, and he really couldn't put bread on the table just like that. And it kind of bothered him. Actually, he said that he was given this challenge. But he said, that night in the parsonage with our pastor, looking at his children who had fled from him in fear, now hugging his legs and adoring their daddy who was back, and his lovely wife who was back and loving him as a wife would love a precious husband. He said, I sat there taking it all in and thinking to myself what Christ had restored in his life. And then his wife walked into the room, and she was carrying a tray full of sandwiches, made, of course, from bread. And she put down the tray, and Bob said, suddenly I realized, there's the bread on the table. There's the real miracle. A God who is able to put bread on the table, who is able to change and transform a sin-sick heart, and restore a man's children, and restore a man's wife, and put his life back together again, and now making him a wonderfully aggressive pastor leading the Church of Jesus Christ for the Church of the Nazarene. He is a God who knows how to put bread on the table. And that night long ago, as he broke bread for these disciples, it was then that they knew it was their Lord. Bread on the table. The transforming power of Christ. How could they do less but go and tell? Tell those hiding in fear that you left back there in Jerusalem. Tell them there's nothing to fear. Fear no more. Death is dead. Death doesn't have the last word after all. Tell them that he is risen. He is risen indeed. And so all these years later, we gather around his table and we prepare ourselves to partake and participate in his feast. And as we leave this place tonight and tomorrow and the days to come, remember, Eucharist ends in mission. Go and tell. Would those who are prepared to assist us please come and take their places now? The Lord himself ordained this holy sacrament. He commanded his disciples to partake of the bread and wine, emblems of his broken body and shed blood. This is his table. The feast is for his disciples. Let all those who have with true repentance forsaken their sins
and have believed in Christ unto salvation, draw near and take these emblems, and by faith partake of the life of Jesus Christ to your soul's comfort and joy. Let us remember that it is the memorial of the death and passion of our Lord, also a token of his coming again. Let us not forget that we are one at one table with the Lord. Please pray with me. Dear God, Father of thy tender mercy, you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption. Hear us. Grant that as we receive these, thy creatures of bread and wine, according to the holy institution of thy Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, in remembrance of his passion and death, we may be made partakers of the benefits of his atoning sacrifice. And we are reminded that in the same night that our Lord was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." May we come before you in true humility and faith as we partake of this holy sacrament through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Sunday morning, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Amen. We have received grace upon grace in these hours. And if we didn't count all of Sunday and all of Monday and all of Tuesday until this evening, we've received enough tonight to say, "Thanks be unto God." It has been rich tonight. It's been challenging. I said amen several times, and I said ouch three or four times. And that's why I came. Isn't that why you came? For God to speak to us. Grace upon grace. And I would like to give you a blessing from David, the psalmist. "The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace." And my prayer for you tonight, as you go and as I go, that the Lord will give us strength to do what God has talked to us about in these hours, and that God will bless his people with peace. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you now in the last moment of this conference. And how good it has been to be with our brothers and our sisters from well over 50 countries of the world. And Lord, we are so diverse, but we have honestly felt unity here these hours. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who makes us part of the family of God and brothers and sisters with one another. And I was just thinking here tonight, Lord, as we were listening to these Spirit-anointed presentations, that it would be wrong, if not sin, to come and keep. Lord, we've got to go and tell. May we not come and take it in and keep it and lock it up and let it die. may we now go and tell what you have prompted us to hear, to see, to feel, to experience. And it may be on the jet airplane. It may be when we get home. It may be to the neighbor. It may be to someone over at the church or the school or the college or the seminary. But dear Lord, may we be an open channel where we will go and we will tell. So now in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we say thank you. Blessed Lord, may our lives now reflect the Jesus that we have been hearing and talking about and now will tell others about. In the name of Jesus the Lord, amen. And I would like very much, if you would do this, I know we've already given peace one to another, but if you would say to at least three as you leave, may God give you strength and may God bless you with peace. And God be with you all. Amen.